Matthew chapter 7, reading verses 13 through 23. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Our subject this morning is a warning against false prophets. The Word of God gives much attention to that which is false, to that which is counterfeit. It warns us against those things that would tend to deceive us. False Christs, false brethren, false gods, false doctrines, and false prophets. Last Lord's Day morning, we began to deal with this passage and with this subject. We considered in the first place false prophets in this context. We marked in verses 13 and 14 the urgent command, the command of our Lord very urgently in the aorist imperative, urgently, immediately, with the utmost, enter in at the straight gate. Salvation is the priority of the soul. Why? Immediately now, in verse 15, beware of false prophets. There are those who would have us enter in at the wide gate and continue in the broad way that leads to destruction. And therefore, immediately after the urgent command to make certain of our standing before God, to make certain we are savingly and vitally united to the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately our Lord gives an unending caution in verse 15 against false prophets. Constantly beware. The present tense of continuity. Constantly beware of false prophets. Then in verses 16 through 20, the understandable character of these men. Men do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? The original language implies a no answer. And then we find that a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit. And so in verses 16 and 20, very emphatically in the original language, therefore, from examining their fruits, the result of their ministry, their converts, you shall know all about them. In verse 21, we mark the unalterable condition for final salvation. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but literally the one habitually practicing the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Christianity is not lip service to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but rather Christianity is living in obedience to the Word of God under the Lordship of Christ by the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. In verses 22 and 23, the unsuspecting condemnation of these false prophets. Many, not a few, but many, multitudes, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. These are not modernists. These are not humanists. These are those who acknowledge the deity and even the lordship of Jesus Christ. These are the orthodox. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We have preached in your name. We have declared the word of God. And in thy name cast out demons. We have had wonderful ministries, powerful ministries. We have conquered the forces of evil. And in thy name done many wonderful works. We have built large churches, large ministries with worldwide vision we have to our credit. And then will I profess unto them, the Greek is very emphatic, I never, ever knew you at all. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, or ye that side with iniquity. The second thing that we marked in our last message was false prophets and their character. They are deceitful in their ministry. They have entered the ministry without a call of God, and therefore they do not speak, and they cannot speak as a man sent from God with God's authority. They are deceitful in their manner. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They are deceitful in their motives. They come to seduce the people of God. They come to deceive. They come when men ought to be pressing into the straight gate and the narrow way. They come rather with a message that would lead men into a wide gate and a broad way. They come preaching an easy believism. Their motive is to have a wonderful ministry and to do a mighty work, but they do it at the expense of God's truth. Beware of false prophets. And they are, in the final place, deceitful in their message. They corrupt the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 5, the prophet declares concerning the false prophets of his day the following terms. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? False prophets prophesy falsely. Our Lord warns against the corrupt tree that brings forth evil or spoiled or rotten fruit. We are warned against false prophets and their corruption. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "For we are not as many," and the original language reads, "the majority." "For we are not as the majority which corrupt the word of God." The apostle declares, he states in his letter to the Corinthian believers, that the majority of men in his day were corrupting the word of God. The word translated in our English versions as corrupt is a word that originally meant to water down wine. It meant to water down, to corrupt, to cut by a foreign substance, to dilute. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. For we are not as the majority which water down the gospel. For we are not as many which are mere hawkers of Jesus, but as of God, as of Christ, in the sight of God, we preach." This brings us then to our subject this morning, our second message in a warning against false prophets and their corruption. As God enables us, we will mark four things concerning false prophets and their corruption of truth, a message that is not declared in the Word of God, a synthetic gospel, humanistic teaching, a corruption, a watering down of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a corruption of the truth of God that would make ministers degenerate into mere hawkers of Jesus. I draw your attention to the book of Isaiah and to chapter 30. Here we find a commentary on false prophets. Verses 8 through 11. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. False prophets corrupt the truth concerning God. Prophesy unto us deceits. Prophesy unto us falsely. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. People desire men to declare unto them corrupt things concerning God. Men and women do not hear the truth concerning God. Men and women do not want to hear the truth concerning the nature and character of the one with whom they have to do. Contrast this with the prophet Jeremiah, a man called by God to be a prophet, a man who would suffer for his message and his allegiance to the Most High. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. False prophets corrupt the truth concerning God. A true minister of the gospel will declare the whole counsel of God, and he will not diminish a word. There are essentially three things concerning God that false teachers are wont to teach. Three things concerning God that false teachers are wont to deny because they have after them men and women with itching ears. They will not hold up under healthy teaching but are turned aside unto fables. The first thing that false prophets will do is this. They will declare a misrepresentation of the nature and character of God. It is very popular in our generation and in our society to hear that God is love. And indeed, the Bible declares God to be love. God is love. And yet much harm is done, not only by an outright lie, but much harm is also done by part of the truth. God, beloved, is love, yes, but God is also light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is love, yes, but God is also righteous, and there is no unrighteousness in Him at all. God is also holy, and there is no unholiness in Him at all. And because God is love, we must understand in the full sense of God's holy truth that God's love is a righteous love. God's love is a just love. God's love is a holy love. God's love cannot be stripped of its moral quality and its moral character without perverting the very nature and character of God itself. But there are those who preach that God is love. And in their preaching of the love of God, they deny that God's love has any moral quality whatsoever. And therefore they allow men and women to remain at home in their sin, at home in their lust, at home in their disobedience, at home in their apostasy, at home in their rebellion against God, and yet all the time lead them to believe that in spite of their sin and apostasy and rebellion, God loves them and will not bring them into judgment for their sin. The man who has such a corrupt message is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets who would pervert the nature and character of Almighty God. Because God's love is a righteous love, because God's love is a holy love, because God's love reflects His moral perfections, He so loved the world that He could not set aside their sin. He so loved the world that He could not love sinners in their sin. He so loved the world that He bankrupted heaven and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Would you see God's love? Look at Golgotha. See the suffering Son of God. See the agony and the shame, and see how God deals with sin. Because God's love is righteous. God's love is holy. God's love is just. And it is the false prophet who will strip God's love of its moral character and allow men, women, boys and girls to retain their sin, to have just enough religion to get by, and yet all the while undisturbed believe that God loves them, and that is a lie. False prophets corrupt the nature and character of God. They also preach that God loves all men, and they confuse the term world with its scriptural use to mean all men without exception, which it often does not and cannot mean. The Word of God declares explicitly, God is angry with the wicked every day. It does not say that God is angry with wickedness, as though sin were some abstract thing, but God is angry with the wicked. God is angry with sinners. God has sworn open warfare against every rebel that is against His truth and will not submit to His grace or to His word. God is angry with the wicked every day. God hateth all the workers of iniquity. The Bible does not declare that God merely hates the works of iniquity, but yea, the very workers of iniquity. God is not angry with sin. God does not hate sin in the abstract, but He hates the wickedness and the sins of sinners, and unless they are separated by the grace of God, God hates both the sinner and his sin. Yet these same men will stand and say, oh, my friend, God loves the sinner, but He hates his sin. And in so saying, they fly full in the face of Scripture, which declares that God is angry with the wicked every day, and God hateth all the workers of iniquity. And by perverting the nature and character of God, by twisting divine love, they convince men and women who ought to be begging for mercy, who ought to be utterly concerned about the salvation of their souls, they convince men and women still in their sin, still in their rebellion, still in their apostasy, that God loves them and will not bring them into judgment concerning their sin. The man who has such a message corrupts the truth of God, and he is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. Yet again, there is a denial of God's absolute sovereignty. The Scripture declares, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." If there is any outward restriction upon an individual, that individual lacks sovereignty. God is utterly unrestricted and unrestrained by anyone or anything outside Himself. God is not striving to be God. God is not working up a nervous sweat trying to run this universe. God is certainly not leaning over the banister of heaven, weeping crocodile tears because sinners refuse to be saved. Such a caricature of God is utter blasphemy. And yet we hear from pulpits today that God has done all that He can, and He still cannot save sinners. God has done all that He can, and yet the world is in rebellion against Him. And men are preaching, men are declaring, men are teaching about the God of their own imagination, whom they would strip of His sovereignty, they would strip of His power, and they would have a being who needed man's help, or he could not get anything done. We hear them on the radio. God has no eyes but your eyes. God has no hands but your hands. God has no feet but your feet. And they always end by saying, God has no money but your money. We answer them, where were you when God spoke the universe into existence? Where were you when He laid the foundations of heaven and earth? For of Him, and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. God is immutable. God does not change. God cannot change. And when man twists and perverts the nature and character of God and seeks to strip Him of His omnipotence because God cannot be changed, that man is preaching the God of his own imagination. A God made in the likeness of sinful man. A God with restrictions. A God with contradictions. A God who is seeking to do right but is powerless at times to do it. A God who has His own creatures in revolt and cannot quell their rebellion. No, beloved, a man who has such a message and a man who has such a God preaches the God of his own imagination, and that man is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets, for God is sovereign. God is God. And He is not less than God. We trust Him to answer our prayers concerning rain. We trust Him to answer our prayers concerning sickness. We trust Him to answer our prayers concerning the affairs of our nation. We trust Him to answer our prayers when we pray for the salvation of souls. And if God is not God in these spheres, sending rain when He wills, controlling the heavens and the earth, the weather, the climate, if God does not control the hearts of all men in society and in the social sphere, and if God is not indeed sovereign over the salvation of all men, then God is not God and He's not worthy to pray to. The man who perverts the nature and character of God is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. When a man declares such a God and denies God's absolute sovereignty, then this allows, contrary to the Word of God, it allows men and women to sit under the preaching, still in their sin, unrepentant and unsaved, and believe, actually, that God cannot trespass into their life. And beloved, such is not good news, such is horrible blasphemy. To preach that God is God, that God expresses His righteous nature through His holy law, to state that God is God according to Scripture, is to challenge every man, woman, and child to lay down the weapons of his warfare and sue for peace. For the Lord of lords and the King of kings will sit in damning judgment upon the souls of all men who live and die in rebellion against Him. The message of the false prophet is never truly a message of peace. The message of the false prophet is never truly good news. It is synthetic, it is corrupt, it is defective. And the current powerlessness of Christianity in our generation and in our society is largely laid at the feet of false prophets who have perverted in the thinking of this generation the nature and character of Almighty God. In the third place, there is a denial of God's eternal redemptive purpose. Paul writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." Blessing number one, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And the word obtain means to obtain by lot, election. The free and sovereign grace of God is implicitly here. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We look back into eternity past, into the very heart and mind of God, as it has been revealed and expressed in His holy Word. And we see that before time began, before the universe was created, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit covenanted together in a redemptive covenant to save the ones that God had chosen for Himself to salvation. It was those for whom our Lord would live and bleed and suffer and die, those whom He would convert and sanctify, those who would ultimately be glorified and raised up with Him, to live forever in the blessing of God. And the Bible always looks at these truths: election, predestination, the free and sovereign grace of God flowing through in our effectual calling, our regeneration, our conversion, our sanctification, and our ultimate redemption and glorification, always as blessing, always as hope, always as cause for rejoicing. But the false prophet tells us these are horrible doctrines. These are a perversion of Scripture. And so they utterly deny the eternal redemptive purpose of Almighty God. Any man who denies the free and sovereign elective grace of God is a false prophet. Any man who denies that effectual calling and regeneration, even the gift of repentance and faith and converting mercy, comes from the free and sovereign grace of God, is a humanist and a false prophet. Any man who tells you that walking an aisle will save you, any man who tells you that you believe and exercise your inherent faith and then God regenerates you, is a false prophet. Any man who tells you you can live a life devoid of the marks of converting grace and still know Christ is a false prophet. Any man who tells you that sanctification is an optional thing is a false prophet. Any man who denies the altar perseverance of the true elect or saints of God is a false prophet. What we have stated is nothing more and nothing less than that which the prophet Jonah stated in the belly of the fish. Salvation is of the Lord. That is for our blessing. That is for our instruction. That is for our rejoicing and for the glory of God. But a false prophet would take salvation out of the hand and purpose of God and give it to the caprice of men. He would make man great in his supposed free will. He would make God small. He would put man on the throne. He would bring God into the dust as a beggar. And that is blasphemy. Any man who denies grace, that salvation is of the Lord from eternity past to eternity future, any man who denies that or any aspect thereof is a false prophet. And so false prophets corrupt the truth concerning God. Such preaching destroys evangelism. Such preaching discourages prayer. Such preaching drags God from off His throne. Oh, beloved, it is no good word that I hear. When we are told that God has done all that He can, that God is weeping because sinners will not come, that the Holy Spirit is thwarted, that the gospel is not effectual. Oh, no, beloved, all that the Father giveth me, said our Lord, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And there is no assurance of salvation, there is no security for the believer, there is no hope in an absolute sense unless election be true, unless predestination be so, unless the free and sovereign grace that spans eternity should be real and true in the omnipotence of God and His electing love. The message of the false prophet leads to humanism. It leads to psychology instead of the declaration of truth. It leads to promotion instead of faithfulness to God. And it leads to human invention rather than beseeching God to bring revival from the skies. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Our second consideration is this: that false prophets not only corrupt the truth concerning God, but false prophets also corrupt the truth concerning man. There are two things I would like to mark. The first is this: concerning man, they deny the truth of original sin and its consequences. The Word of God states, "Wherefore, as by one man," that is Adam, "as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned." Aorist tense, sinned. The human race sinned in Adam. The human race was personified in Adam. We were in Adam's loins when he sinned. We were there. We sinned. We all sinned in him. Therefore the apostle writes, "For all sinned in Adam, all sinned and are continually coming short of the glory of God." The truth of original sin and its consequences, however, is denied by these false prophets. We are told today that man has a free will. We are told today that man has the capability in and of himself to freely, savingly come to Christ or to reject Him. We are told, therefore, and it is completely inferred in this reasoning, that man is not a fallen being. Man is not totally depraved. Man's personality and being is not permeated with sin or with its effects. And so, very subtly, there is preached today an artificial gospel based on the ability and works of men. not that justification is by faith, but rather that justification is because of faith. That man has the inherent ability to believe. That he's not as bad as we've been taught that he is. That he's not really depraved. That his will is still free. That he can still come to Christ if he wants to. And so the whole thrust of preaching in our day in many pulpits is nothing more or little more than psychological manipulation to get people to do something to give them some religious stability. Make your decision. Sign the card. Come forward for prayer. Raise your hand where you are. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Where is that in the Word of God? And if it is not in the Word of God, it is the invention of man. And if it isn't the invention of man, it will damn the soul. It will not save. Beware of false prophets. Although they come to you in sheep's clothing as the very picture of humility, inwardly they are ravening wolves. They have damnable doctrine and they will damn your soul. It is not the Word of man that saves. It is the Word of God. Beware of false prophets. We do men and women no favor if we allow them to be comfortable in their sin. We do sinners no favor if we do not tell them correctly and biblically who and what they are. It is unethical. It is indeed criminal. If a medical doctor diagnoses the case correctly, yet gives the patient an incorrect diagnosis. And it is blasphemous. It is criminal. It is utmost sin against God for a man to declare to unsuspecting men and women that they have a free will, that salvation is in their hands, there's nothing God can do about it, it's all up to them, and then he prescribes for them the sugar pill of the invitational system, the lotion of signing a card, things completely inadequate to deal with the salvation of the soul, and gives them that, and they swallow it as gospel truth. We do them no favor. We are accomplices in the damnation of their souls. Beware of false prophets. Not only do they deny the truth of original sin and its consequences, but they have modified evangelistic methodology to conform to their thought. There is a great difference between revival and revivalism. There is much talk today in some circles concerning the great revivalists of history. Jonathan Edwards was not a revivalist. He was a preacher. Charles Spurgeon was not a revivalist. He was a preacher. The Apostle Paul was not a revivalist. He was a preacher. George Whitefield was not a revivalist. He was a preacher. Howell Harris was not a revivalist. He was a preacher. A revivalist is a man who uses certain methodology to get a result. A preacher is a man who declares divine truth, praying that God, in His free and sovereign grace, will bring revival and awakening, because revival comes from the skies. Revivalism is man's substitute for the moving of God. Beware of false prophets. Man seeks to replace the power of the Holy Spirit because he looks to himself, he looks to psychology, he looks to the tear-jerking illustrations, he looks to the raising of the hands and going to the front for prayer or signing a decision card. He looks to these things because he's not looking to the free and sovereign dynamic of the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit. Beware of false prophets. You see, beloved, you can walk the aisle, you can sign the card, you can pray the prayer, you can be sincere, but unless you are savingly united to Jesus Christ, you are lost, undone, and deceived as to the state of your soul. Beware of false prophets. A man who departs from the Word of God and asks you or commands you or urges you to do anything other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. They have bypassed the dynamic of the Spirit of God, and yet our Lord said, except a man be born again, or from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All human methodology must fall. All of the promotionalism is empty and vain. All of the intelligence and wit and planning and programming of man must fall before the power of God. And beloved, it is the power of God that we need. We should be praying for revival, that God would do something that we cannot do, rather than trying this program and that program and have this man in to preach and that man in to preach, this revivalist and that revivalist, this methodology, that contest. God does not bless these things. And what should it profit a man if he should pastor the largest church in the world or have hundreds of thousands of decisions if he preached a false message? And damned many. Beware of false prophets. In the third place, false prophets not only corrupt the truth concerning God, concerning men, but they also corrupt the truth concerning sin. Sin is seen today for the most part as a light thing. Sin is viewed in a humanistic sense. Sin is considered to be honest mistakes, a little defect here and there. Certainly no one is perfect. There's no discipline in our churches concerning immorality. Public sin oftentimes is overlooked. No one's perfect. Judge not that ye be not judged. Let him that is without a sin cast the first stone. But all, beloved, the Word of God declares, whosoever sins transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. He hamartia est en heinomia. Sin is lawlessness, anomia, lawlessness. Sin is anything that is contrary to or apart from God's law or God's moral perfection or His righteous nature and character. And it behooves the man in the pulpit, the man who claims to be a prophet, the man who is put there to declare God's truth, to preach sin for what it really is, and to call those things sin that are indeed sin. Sin is not a light thing. Sin is rebellion against heaven. Every sin seeks to dethrone God. Every sin that you commit and that I commit seeks to place us on the throne and drag God off. Sin is lawlessness. And ever since man has fallen, his whole subsequent history is this: I will be my own God. I will determine for myself what is right and what is wrong. He seeks to implement Satan's lie. Ye shall not surely die. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so man naturally hates all outward authority. Man by nature hates all outward restraint. Man by nature seeks to be his own God. And he seeks to recreate everything and everybody in his own image and his own likeness. And behind every sin, every act, every word, every thought, every motive, every inclination, is this desire, I will be my own God. And every act, every word, every thought, every motivation, every inclination tries to usurp the power of heaven and dethrone Almighty God. And anything less than that is a perversion of the biblical truth concerning sin. And when we make light of sin, when sin is not preached in its biblical perspective, we do men and women no good work. We do them much harm. How can some of you sit there under the preaching of truth, knowing that God's judgment hangs heavy upon your soul for your sin, and yet because you've imbibed upon the ministry of a false prophet, you can sit there quite undisturbed in the face of scriptural testimony, actually believing that in spite of all of this, God hates your sin, but He loves you, and He will not sit in judgment upon your soul. That is damningly deceitful. False prophets make light of sin. A true preacher will declare the word of God. He will not diminish a word. Beware of false prophets. In the fourth and final place, false prophets corrupt the truth concerning the gospel. In Jeremiah again, I read to you the statement of God through the prophet, where He states concerning the false prophets of His day, from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God declares, they have healed the hurt, the wound of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And through the prophet Isaiah, God declares, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. False prophets slightly heal the wounds of sinners. They speak peace to men and women when God has not spoken peace to their soul. Do you have peace this morning? Do you believe that you're in a right relationship to God because of what you have done? Is it possible that because of some man's message, because of someone's preaching or teaching or some book that you've read, that they have spoken peace to your soul, but God has not spoken peace to your soul? I do not want the word of man. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. You see, false prophets give an assurance of salvation to men and women without scriptural warrant. Men and women yet unrepentant. Men and women still in their sin. Men and women still under the reign of sin and under its bondage. Oh, they've walked an aisle, they've signed a card, they've prayed a prayer, they've joined the church, they've been baptized, they read their Bible, they read some devotional books, they give a little money to the church. But you are damned unless God has spoken peace to your soul. And there are so many that man has spoken peace, that man has given assurance of salvation, But unless you are savingly, vitally united to Jesus Christ in the truth of the gospel, unless you own Him alone for your righteous standing before God, unless you evidence and manifest the marks of the grace of a converted person according to God's holy truth, then, beloved, God has not spoken peace to your soul. And if you dare to think you have peace when God has not spoken peace to your soul, then you have become the victim of a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. They also deny the necessity of God's law to shut sinners up to Christ. And we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under law, in order that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world guilty may become before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by a system of works, by man's devising, by self-righteousness, by what we can do, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or declared right or righteous before God. For by the law is the epignosis, the full, complete, true knowledge of sin. God has revealed the true standard of His righteousness and His holiness to us in His law. Therefore, by the law is the correct knowledge of sin. And false prophets relegate law to a past dispensation. False prophets substitute the righteousness of the law for a morally nondescript love. But Paul would say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And where, beloved, today, do you hear the righteousness of God being preached? Where are men and women faced with their standing before a righteous, just, and holy God? In very few places. Beware of false prophets. Some would say, I take my preaching from the book of Acts. And never in the book of Acts do we find the law being impressed upon the hearts and minds of sinners to bring them to conviction of sin. Not so. Every mention of God's righteousness presupposes His law. For the law is the expression, the revelation, the manifestation of the righteous nature and character of God. And when Paul reasoned with Felix of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, it implies the preaching of the nature and character of God or the law. The same is true on Mars Hill. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And we cannot separate righteousness from God's law, nor can we separate righteousness from God's moral nature and character. Men are not loved into the kingdom of God. They are born into it by free and sovereign grace. Beware of false prophets. The cross is not the medium of conviction, but it is the righteousness of God that brings men into the dust to lay down the weapons of their warfare and submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as unrighteous, undone, unjust rebels against the Most High God. False prophets deny the preaching of God's moral nature and character. They deny the necessity of preaching law. We preach love, be that as it may. Love in the Word of God is defined by law. And when we do away with God's law, then love by necessity must remain undefined. And when love remains undefined, we have converts that have no moral character that reflects the moral character of God. And that, beloved, is damning. Beware of false prophets. They also deny the utter necessity of repentance for salvation. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, saith the Scripture. That repentance should be preached to all nations in the name of the Lord Jesus, saith the Scripture. And yet a false prophet will say, repentance is a past Jewish doctrine for a Jewish dispensation. All we must do now is give a mental assent to the historic facts of the gospel. All we must do is just believe. But there will never be an unrepentant sinner in the presence of God in glory. Beware of false prophets who deny the utter necessity of repenting and turning from sin. It is the false prophet who believes in the carnal Christian heresy. It is the false prophet who takes biblical truth and relegates it to another dispensation. It is a false prophet who destroys the authority of God's Word and the utter necessity of a converted life. Beware of false prophets. In the final place, they deny the utter necessity for holiness as a prerequisite to heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who habitually practices the will of my Father which is in heaven. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. The Word of God has declared explicitly that no one has any assurance or hope, anticipation of heaven without a life that is converted by the transforming free and sovereign grace of Almighty God. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. When people tell you you can live in sin and once saved, always saved, that man is a false prophet. When he tells you you can be carnal and live in sin and spirituality is an option, he is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. Beloved, salvation is bound up in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The message of the gospel in its simplicity is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Beware of false prophets. Look to Christ. Urgently enter in at the straight gate. Continue in the narrow way. Beware of false prophets. Make certain that your salvation is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Word of God. Might God so bless even this Word for His honor, for His glory. Amen.